Fishing like a local isn't just about catching fish. It's about connecting with the environment and the people who call it home. It's about hearing the stories and traditions that have been passed down for generations and sharing unforgettable moments with the people you meet along the way. Fishing like a local is having an experience that stays with you forever. And with Fishing Booker, you can experience it too, no matter where you are. Discover your next adventure on Fishing Booker.
This upcoming concert season will be all about the boots, and Tecovas is your stop for the best in Western style. Tecovas has seasonal and limited edition offerings this spring and summer, including men's and women's boots, apparel, hats, bags, and more. All Tecovas boots are made by hand in a time-honored tradition with timeless styles that are always on trend. And Tecovas has first wear comfort with little to no break-in period. It's hard to find this level of comfort paired with this level of style. Stop by your local Tecovas store, have a complimentary drink or two, that's WCB style, and shop new styles. The smell of fresh leather and friendly staff are at your service. Many stores even have leather custom branding to make your boots truly personalized, and with regular live music and events, there's no in-store experience like it. If you can't make it into a store, just visit tecovas.com, that's T-E-C-O-V-A-S.com. They offer free shipping on all boots, as well as free returns and exchanges, and ship right to your door. Go to tecovas.com and find your new favorite pair of boots today.
Whether you're just looking to stay warm during a hunt or need maximum concealment, the clothing you wear can make or break a hunt. At MidwayUSA.com, we understand hunting clothing has come a long way with more meticulously crafted camo patterns, advanced scent control technologies, and weatherproof options to withstand the elements. Hunters have to wait until their favorite season, but shouldn't wait on gear, which is why MidwayUSA offers super fast shipping. When you're ready for your next system, log on to MidwayUSA.com.
Welcome to the Whitetail Legacy Nut Podcast. Another week, another episode coming out. Glad to chat with you guys this week. Finally getting better. Shouldn't cough a bunch on here to drive you guys crazy. But I'm doing another difficult conversation one. I decided that I had a guest on for a couple of these, and I decided that, you know, it might put someone in an awkward conversation to talk about some of these. So I decided just to run them by myself. That way, if any feelings are hurt, they're just hurt for me and not someone else. But appreciate all the messages from the last episode. That reached a lot of people, and a lot of people enjoyed that one. A lot of people enjoyed the outdoor industry is bullshit one. Ton of messages on that. So I appreciate you guys reaching out. And I'd like you guys to reach out on this one and kind of let me know how you're feeling about this and if you agree or disagree. But the topic is picking one hunting style beneficial or negative? You know, that's been the hype. Like, if you get on a hype train of one type of hunting, like say you're going to saddle hunt, or say you're going to mobile stand hunt, or say you're going to public land hunt, or say you're going to marsh hunt, is being selective in one style beneficial to helping you kill, you think? Or does it have a negative impact because it impacts the amount of chances, opportunities you get at bucks? Cool conversation. I got some notes that I jotted down that I think might tweak your interest, maybe pull you one way or the other. But before that, let's get into the people that make this possible. We're starting off with Rec Broadheads. If you guys have been interested about their heads, they have every broadhead you could think. Mechanical, fixed, big mechanical, medium mechanical, big fixed, small fixed. You can check out their Instagram, Facebook. They've been posting up a whole bunch of videos, detailed videos of each head to get you guys kind of an idea of exactly what you're looking at, and that code WLP2024 is still going to save you guys 17.5%. With the price of broadheads this day and age, I mean, they're getting outrageous, guys. So that's going to save you quite a bit at checkout, and help that ease that purchase. It's something that you have to have, and it's just so costly to get. Next, Exodus Outdoor Gear. If you guys go on their website as well, they have opened up the pictures and the release of their Reg Esky card camera that's going to be a 4K video camera. So if someone's creating content or really wants like really, really cool, badass videos, wide frame videos of a scrape or something, this is going to be a killer camera to use in that situation. I'm going to get a couple just for content-wise scrapes that I love to get videos on. Just cool to look at, cool content to have to put in there, especially if you're a video producer or something like that. When we produce videos, adding those videos of the bucks on the scrapes or the bucks, you know, chasing a doe on video or whatever you got really adds to the story and gets the viewer kind of a shot at the buck before you actually get to the kill shot or the money shot. So definitely a cool option there. It is a regular SD card camera as well. It'll take regular SD card pictures. You're still going to get that 5-year warranty, and you're still going to be able to save that money with code WL Capital at checkout. Like I said, it is a direct-to-consumer company, so you cannot get these anywhere except a show, you know, an outdoor show that they're at or on their website. So using my code will save you money, and saving money is always the best thing, especially like me with all these kids I got running around. Any money I can save here, I'm going to spend on hunting somewhere else. But let's get into talking about this topic. And like I said, this isn't trying to piss someone off. A certain type of hunter maybe doesn't use a certain type of gear. Maybe he doesn't like saddles. Maybe you love saddles. Maybe you're a hang-on guy. Maybe you're not a hang-on guy. Maybe you're a lone wolf custom guy. Maybe you're a beast guy. It's like, but that's not what I'm talking about. Not that type of stuff. I'm talking about it's like, dedicating yourself to one type of hunting, is that hurting you in the long run or helping you in the long run? And I'm going to kind of break it down and maybe give some insight. And it's something that you, like I said, every difficult conversation, you have to kind of decide what you're kind of doing. And with me, I kind of dedicated myself to one style of hunting for a few years. And I think it did both. So that's an option as well. But, you know, the first thing I want to talk about, like I said, is not directly gear, it's the style of hunting. So the big craze right now is mobile hunting. It's been going on for years and years and years. Everything is getting lighter and lighter and lighter. People going to public land, etc., etc. So we're going to go over like the pros and cons of that, and if you think it's something that is hurting you or making you better. So the biggest advantage I would say to mobile hunting is just the learning curve of property that's brand new. So say you're on a brand new piece of property, you go out there and maybe you hang 3 preset stands and you hunt them and you realize 2 of them aren't very good, you're not seeing deer there, you got to move them. Well, with the option of a preset stand, you can, or an option of a mobile stand, you can kind of bounce all over the place and really get some intel at different times of the year. Okay, you find a hot scrape. When is that scrape hot? Like, is it a nighttime scrape? Is it an October scrape? Is it a 1st of November scrape? Like, when is that scrape firing up from that one that you scouted and found last November? Well, if you hung a preset stand on there, you probably don't have 30 preset stands on a piece of ground. You probably like a normal guy and you have maybe 5. 5's a big number, 8 maybe. And you know, if you go to hunt that stand, maybe off some trail cam data or something, your stand's kind of stuck there. Once you hang it up, you can move them, but it's kind of a pain in the ass to move. And you're only learning about that area. So maybe the next hunt, you got to go to a different preset stand because the wind's wrong. Well, if you had a mobile setup, maybe you could backdoor that scrape and still get in there quietly and hang. So just the learning curve of hunting new property goes down. But the adverse effect is if you have a property that you're like really solid on, like a family property that you've been hunting forever, I think mobile hunting could hurt you on that. So say like you've been very successful over the years killing bucks, you got like a inside corner stand or a CRP stand or a food plot stand that's really, really good. You know, you killed bucks there multiple times, you've had encounters there, you've almost killed bucks there, and then early season you're like, all right, I'm going mobile, and you kind of bust in and hunt these bucks where you don't really know, where you don't have experience hunting them before, and you educate these deer, and then the opportunities at these really good spots later in the year aren't there. So that could be a negative to being able to bounce around and kind of move wherever you want if it's a new property, it's beneficial because you're learning that you're bumping these deer. But you know, if it's a property that you had success on, sometimes it's harder to mobile hunt there unless it's very safe, because you know the first week of November or the third week of October, this bottom really heats up, or this, they start really hammering this field after we pick it, or, you know, the scrapes on this field edge open up, you know, the last week of October. You know, if you go in there and start hunting their bedding per se, of what, you know, that's big now, the bed hunting, and you bump these deer early, are they going to be there to hunt later in the year? So if you're just strictly mobile hunting and you're bouncing all over your property, are you hurting that property or are you gaining because you're learning more about that property? That's a hard line to cross. One thing that I think is the most important, no matter what you do, whether it's public, private, whatever you do, once you find big deer on a property, don't leave those big deer for other deer. Try to figure out how to kill them. In a couple years, you might struggle. It might be very, very hard to kill those deer. But once you figure out a property, it's like magic, especially if a lot of stuff don't change. You know, you find that sweet spot, you find that perfect north wind spot on a scrape line or something, and it's just like year after year, you're getting encounters, you're killing bucks. You find that inside corner CRP field on the edge where they pinch in, like I did that year. I killed 5 bucks, same 100 yards, 5 years in a row. Just a crazy good spot, but I figured the property out, I figured the access out, and was having kick-ass hunts because of it. So, you know, if you're a strictly mobile hunter guy and you're into that craze of mobile hunting and this is what you're going to do, and you're going to hunt public land only and you're going to mobile hunt, and you got a stand back there that you've killed 4 bucks in the first week of November over the last 6 years, are you not going to hunt that preset stand because you want to kill a buck mobile? Or you want to kill a buck on public? Like if that is your goal that year and not just to kill a buck, I mean, that's completely fine. But the fact is you have to decide like which one is the worst of the evils to decide on. And I know there's a lot of guys out there, 'cause I was doing it as well. You got that perfect spot and you look at your phone the next morning, you're like, man, this is perfect for that inside corner stand, where I've had multiple encounters. They're probably going to be hitting that scrape line. You know, it's October 29th. It's a cold morning. You're like, man, they're probably going to be hitting that scrape line. I probably need to be in there. They might be checking some doe bedding. It's the perfect time. But then you're like, well, I wanted a mobile hunt over here and check out this ridge. And that curiosity gets you where it's like, hey, you know, let's go to this mobile ridge. You've never been in there. What if there's a giant? What if there's a monster in there? You know, what if you kill a giant on a mobile hunt on this random public property, but you got this solid buck that you've been after that's a really good chance is going to be on that. And then you pulled the trail camera cards later, and he was on there. I did that last year. Like, in my mind, I'm like, I need to be here. This is where I need to be. And I didn't go. Buck daylighted. Went there the next day. Buck daylighted. Had a real close call. Didn't make it happen. It was a different buck. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to switch it up. Not going to hunt here. The next day, buck daylighted. 3 days in a row, all different times, of course. One was like right first thing in the morning. One was evening. One was midday. But shooter bucks all daylight, 3 days in a row. And then that spot kind of shut down, was real hit or miss. And then about the 5th of November, it completely shut down. Like nothing. So from the 29th, 30th of October to the 5th of November, if you would have just hung out in that stand, you'd have had opportunity to kill 3 different bucks in daylight. So it's like when there is a spot that's good, sometimes you got to hunt it. You just can't be like, well, I'm going to bounce over here and try to do this, or maybe he's over here. There's so many options to mobile hunting. Your brain gets to spinning and you kind of forget the natural basics of what helped you kill in the past, when you try to get real fancy with it. And that's where I see myself. So it could be a benefit to be able to hunt a bunch of different places and, you know, bounce around and learn. Or it could be a negative because you're hunting a bunch of different places. You're not learning one place really, really good. Like your home farm, you're not learning it really, really good, or you're hunting it early, bouncing around and educating these bucks that you know you can kill later in the year, or you have too many options because you're mobile hunting and you're like, I know I probably should be there, but I really want to get up and check this ridge because there might be a giant up there. That curiosity can get you. Next thing I want to talk about is, you know, just we're talking styles of hunting. Like me, I consider myself a stand hunter, whether it's mobile setup or if it's regular, you know, strap-on tree stand. But what about the ground? I'm not comfortable with ground hunting. And over the years, I've wanted to hunt places but held myself back because I was afraid to do it on the ground. But I know multiple people that kill giants on the ground with a bow every single year. But I'm afraid to do it. You watch Whitetail Adrenaline, they do it all the time. People I know have killed multiple bucks on the ground, like year after year after year, and they find a good spot on the ground and they just keep going back to it and they keep killing giants. It's like, I'm just not comfortable doing it. But it's like that style of hunting. Like, am I handcuffing myself because I feel like I have to be in a stand? I need to be in this mobile stand, but there, where I need to hunt, there's no trees. So I'm going to hunt in a subpar spot because I'm afraid to get on the ground and try in there and get it done. Like, it's a hard question for me, and it's something that I'm going to try next year. One thing that always held me back, which was filming. Like, the weight of the filming equipment was a big pain in the ass hauling around, and then the fact that you can't film on the ground. Like, you just can't do it. But if it was just me on the ground, nestled up, I feel like you could do it a lot better. And then the same thing is, like, you're covering more ground that you can't hunt with a stand. So are you learning more? Are you educating more? Are you missing out on opportunities? Like, you know, some of the public that I hunt, there's very little trees. And I'm just like, man, if I could just get on the ground and get in there and hunt, like, how cool, how good would it be? Would it be as good as I think it is? Would I get, like, what if a doe busts you? Does that ruin that style of hunting for you? Like, and then 10 minutes later, you could kill a giant. So it's a style of hunting that I know a lot of people do. It's something that I don't do, but it's something that I need to do because I feel like I'm missing out. I've considered myself a stand hunter, and the ground is a good option, especially for the stuff that I hunt. You can get cover. You can get elevation on the ground in certain areas and hunt stuff. And I feel like calling works better on the ground. You know, so if you wanted to call something,
knives, machetes, saws, and shears, multi-tools, shovels, swords, axes, spears, hatchets, and tomahawks. If it cuts, snips, slices, or chops, Midway USA has it. Find great gift ideas in our huge selection of pocket knives and other everyday carry folding knives. Make a statement or create a family legacy with one of our top-of-the-line hunting knives. We've got a great selection of manual and electric sharpeners, too. For just about everything for the outdoors, check out MidwayUSA.com. At Midway USA, we know the AR-15 is one of the most popular rifles in modern American history. Known for its modularity and widespread use, it's often considered essential to any gun collection. The essential things you need to run an AR-15 are usually always in stock during shortages, things like magazines and 5.56 ammo. Whether you're looking to buy a new AR-15 or buy parts for your modern sporting rifle, log on and for just about everything for the outdoors, shop MidwayUSA.com. Hunting boots are a critical component of any successful hunt. Whether walking a short distance to your blind or trudging miles through rugged terrain, your feet are carrying the load. Without the right boots, you could give up early and lose out on that trophy just over the ridge. At Midway USA, we make selecting boots for your next hunt easier. With just a few clicks of a mouse, you can decide on what's important, like waterproofing, insulation, size, width, and savings. For just about everything for shooting, hunting, and the outdoors, check out MidwayUSA.com.
In that might work better. I know the visibility is what challenges me so bad is you just can't see like you can out of a stand. You can see so much. And I think when I'm on the ground, I get in my head and I'm like, man, like, what am I doing? Like, I should be up here. I can't see anything. The bucks are going to see me. They probably smell me. They probably smell me on the way in. Like, you just get your head starts wondering and going and like, but I feel like it would be fun. It would be something new. Like, I'd be hunting new areas, be way less work, just to carry my ass in there with a bow instead of the stand and the sticks and everything and the harness and the ropes and all that shit. You just go in yourself and hunt. Like, I mean, it's doable 100%. People do it all the time. Another thing that I wanted to talk about is, you know, to go along with ground hunting, you know, a lot of guys might just bow hunt. They might only want to bow hunt. They never picked up a gun, something that they don't want to do, but they really want to kill this one giant buck. Are you limiting yourself on hunting? Would killing that buck mean the same or less if you killed it with a gun or a bow? Because I have friends that will not pick up a gun. 100% will not do it. They make fun of me every year I do it. I don't really care. I'm hunting. Would I like to kill it with a bow? Hell yeah, I'm going to try to kill it with a bow, but I'm not going to limit myself to not using the gun when it's time for that season to open up. I'm not out there killing 3-4 bucks a year. You know, I'm not herding, dominating the herd gun hunting. But are you limiting your style of hunting to saying, I'm just a public land bow hunter, mobile. I'm a mobile public land bow hunter only. You know, maybe you're struggling. Maybe you haven't killed a lot of bucks. Maybe you're just starting out. And that's the main thing. It's like, you got these guys that are brand new hunters that are starting out. They're trying to figure out a saddle. They're trying to figure out a hang-on set. They're trying to figure out how not to get busted. They got to hunt public land because that's the cool thing. And they're trying to film. And they're trying to, you know, they're trying to only do a bow. And they're trying to get them close. And they're trying to kill them on a bed. Like, you're missing out on a lot of fun hunts. And you're going to get burned out if you don't have success. And it's kind of a challenging way to decide. Like, if you're not going to gun hunt, that's cool. But you need to, like I said, it's a difficult conversation. You need to ask yourself, am I okay with not killing a buck if I just bow hunt? But if I gun hunt, if a gun hunter kills that buck and I'm not out there hunting, can I be upset? Because, you know, that's a big thing around here. Oh, gun hunter, you know, hunted 3 days, killed my buck. Well, you weren't out there hunting. Like, can you be upset at that guy? Because he was out there hunting on his property and that buck came through and he shot it. Like, can you really be mad? Maybe he put in a little bit less work than you. Maybe hunted less, but he was able to make the shot and kill the buck. Maybe it was 100 yards. You know, maybe it was 80 yards. Like, maybe it was 50. Hell, maybe it was closer than that. I've killed bucks at 30 yards with a gun. Like, can you be upset with that hunter because you chose to not hunt that style? That's the question that you have to ask yourself. People do it every single year, man. They get their buck gets shot with a gun, and, oh, shit, it's worthless gun season, blah, blah, blah. But they're not out there with a gun to be able to have the opportunity to kill that buck. And now, you know, there's a lot of people that bow hunt in gun season. And if I'm not saying just bow hunting's bad, not at all. Like, if that's your thing, you do it. I bow hunt as well. But I break out the gun, especially if I haven't killed, to level the playing field. As I say, it's a badass weapon that you increase the distance, you increase your range, you increase the odds of, you know, shooting a good shot and tracking that deer. It's just easier to do with a gun straight up. So when it comes around, I definitely do it. But I'm talking about those people that get upset about doing it. Let me take a drink of water here. All right. Now, so that's kind of my, you know, styles of hunting. You got your stand, you got mobile, the benefits of that, but you got ground hunting, which a lot of people don't think about. You got hunting just a couple properties and trying to learn them, or hunting a whole bunch of different properties. Like, if you hunted 10 different properties, would that be more beneficial in the long run than hunting 2 or 3 and really figuring them out? Or if you hunted 10 and just bounced all over and hunted random spots and learned how the deer worked it and found success, like, which one is more beneficial in killing deer over a long time period? Because that's what we're all trying to do. We're trying to kill the biggest buck we can. If you're listening to this podcast, that's probably what you're trying to do. You're trying to kill the biggest buck you can as quick as you can, the easiest. You know, like, that's what you want to do. You wouldn't be trying to absorb all this info and content if you wanted it to be harder. You would try to learn only on your own. You would try to do no one else's help and just do your thing and nothing else. If you're listening to the content to better yourself as a hunter, you want the hunt to be a little bit easier. You want to be a little bit better hunter so you have higher success. Now, getting into, like, some of the gear hunters. Like, the big thing going around for the last couple of years is saddles. I've never set in one, don't want to set in one, seems complicated. I can't really badmouth it a ton because I've never done it. But the main message that I want to put out, if you want to be a saddle hunter, that's the style that you want to do. As long as it is not impeding in you killing deer, killing the bucks that you want, I say do it. If it's not impeding you want to go out and hunt, like you're like, man, I don't want to go hunt. I got to set this damn saddle up. It's going to be a pain in the ass. I got to get this. If that isn't it, if it motivates you to go hunt, hell yeah, do it. If it demotivates you to go hunt, I wouldn't do it. If it's costing you bucks, maybe you couldn't get a shot, maybe you put a bad shot on it, maybe you couldn't get, you know, you're swinging up against a tree and you couldn't get drawn on the backside. Like, is it benefiting you or hurting you to hunt that style? Don't just hunt that style because other people were hunting it and you want to say that you killed a buck out of a saddle. Like, hunt the way that's most effective for you. And I feel with, like, me, the way that I hunt, a saddle wouldn't, I wouldn't like it. I don't like the complication of the ropes and all the shit. I like to strap the stand on. I know it's there, and move on. And another thing about a stand is, like, you have the option to leave it if you have a good hunt and come back and hunt it the next day, which I like. But like I said, I can't really badmouth saddle hunters very much because I have no idea. And then, you know, there's the mobile gear. And there's 30. There's a whole bunch of different styles of mobile gear. And don't get trapped up into only like saying, I'm only a lone wolf guy, or I'm only a beast guy, or I'm only a this guy. If you like the beast sticks, it's okay to run that with a lone wolf stand. If you like the beast stand, it's okay to run that with Novik sticks. Like, you don't have to sell out to these brands and just say, that's all I'm using. That's it. Like, that's the only thing that I'm going to run because this is my style. This is what I do. I'm a lone wolf guy. If you like that gear and that's what you want to run, hell yeah, do it. I personally like that gear. I like it better than the beast sticks. I like it better than the Novik sticks. I ran their original lone wolf sticks. I like it better than that. Like, there's certain things. I like singles. I don't like double steps. I have a single. I actually bought a single double from another company to try it out. I don't like it. I'm going to sell it. Like, you find out what you like and use it. Don't use stuff just because someone says that this is what you need to do to kill deer and this is the only way. You know, it's like Obi-Wan Kenobi out there saying you have to do this. This is the path. This is the path that you have to go down for everything to be perfect. And that's not true. Like, you can have a mix-mag bag of shit and do kind of whatever you want. But you want it to be easy and effective for you. And everything's a little different. You don't want to go, damn, I got to hang this stand again. This is going to suck. You want to be like, all right, I can do this. No big deal. Or, man, these sticks suck when I climb down in the dark. Like, you don't want that. You don't want anything to deter you from wanting to hunt. You want it to be easy, effective. When you're in the stand, you want it to be comfortable. Like, I got to have the lightest stand so I can go the furthest far back. Well, maybe you should have a little bit bigger stand so you can hunt 3 hours longer than the other guy and be more comfortable and enjoy the hunt more instead of sitting on a toothpick and being uncomfortable because the light, small stand's the thing to do. Like, it's a difficult conversation that you need to have. Another thing is, like, climbers. If you can't afford, like, a saddle setup, you can't afford a mobile setup because they're expensive. Like, these things are extremely higher priced than they should be. Like, you can go look at the material like a big game stand's made out of. Like, the amount of metal, the seat, the weight, and you're like, damn, this is a lot of shit. Like, this is a lot of metal, time, welds, etc. And look at the price of that compared to something. And I know it's lighter, but they've used less material. And maybe the material is more expensive. Maybe they cut it, you know, one piece, a little bit more time. But the cost is extremely high. And these companies are making a shitload of money off of us. Hand over fist money. Like, absolutely smashing it out of the park. And we're buying it. I'm buying it, you know, because it's good shit. It's what, you know, like I said, you want to hunt. But if you want to get into the mobile game, they're like Ben from the Bow Hunting League. Dude rocks a climber and slays bucks. Crushes them. Like, you don't have to have the fanciest, nicest, coolest shit to be a mobile hunter and try it. Like, you could literally get a saddle, or I mean a climber, for a couple $100. Give it a shot. Buy a nice one for $300. Hell, you can't even buy a set of sticks for $300. Some of these companies. Like, it's definitely something to think about. And it's something that's kind of like people don't deem as effective than the other stuff, which it might not be. But the people that I see use them kill the shit out of deer. Big deer. All over. Different states. Multiple different states. So it's like, am I limiting myself to not mobile hunting because of the cost when I could get a climber for a little bit less money and give it a shot? Like, do you feel comfortable on a climber? That's another thing. Climbers are kind of, you know, not the safest thing if you don't know how to use them properly and wear, you know, wear the harness and stuff. But neither is hanging a stand. It's pretty dangerous. Neither is moving up in a saddle on sticks. It's pretty dangerous. Anytime you get off the ground, it's pretty dangerous. I mean, you can go out to a preset stand and the straps break and the cables break and you're, you know, it's dangerous. So everything has danger. But something to definitely think about if you're trying to get into that style of hunting, you don't have to have the name brand shit, do this, do that. Another couple things, that I want to talk about that I have in the notes here to finish this up from the disadvantages and advantages. And, you know, I really want the message to come off as to not forget about that money set, that really good spot. This time of year, this place is really good. I got two preset stands for different winds in there. Don't not hunt those spots to go chase a buck on public or to be able to say you killed out a mobile set. Just hunt the damn spots. Those spots, you're going to be more confident. You're going to be able to sit longer. You're going to be more in the game. Your shooting's going to be better because you can pre-plan that shit. You can cut it all out. You've been hunting it for years. You kind of know which area the bucks are probably going to come from. You know which direction that they're coming, maybe going to hit that scrape, or maybe they're going to work out in the food plot over here. Like, you have an idea where these bucks are going to come from. You've seen them do it, and you're really confident, and you're going to be able to make the shot out of that preset stand because it's going to be set up a little bit better than maybe a mobile set or maybe a saddle. Don't forget about those just money spots, because I feel like people are doing that. I'm doing that. I'm getting hyped up on the what ifs and this and that, and I'm just not hunting the spots that I need to hunt. I need to go. I did a series a couple years ago called Going Back to the Basics, and this year I need to go back to just the general basis of hunting. Like, this spot feels good, I'm going to hunt it. Not, I need 7 days of data and I need to scout it 3 times and I'm just going to hunt it and just roll. And those good spots, I'm going to hunt them when it's good. Like, it seems silly, but it's easy to stir yourself up. And especially when you have more properties and the more opportunity to move around, get caught up in that what if train, and it can really pull you down, to not really thinking about it. So this is a difficult conversation. Think about it. Talk about it with a buddy. Like, you think since we're only hunting public land and not hunting, you know, grandpa's farm, we're kind of hurting ourselves, or you think we're helping ourselves? Like, what do you think, dude? And have that conversation. Have it with me. Message me. I have multiple conversations with people over the last 2 episodes. This whole series is to get people thinking about stuff that they might think for a second on, but they're like, oh, it's not that big a deal. But when you break it down in your head, you're like, shit, maybe I'm hurting myself more than I'm helping myself. Or maybe I'm hurting myself sitting in these same 5 stands and not bouncing around. Like, it's all situational to what you have going on and what you want to do. But it's definitely a conversation to be had, whether it's with yourself or with a buddy. I think that's going to wrap it up. Appreciate you guys tuning in all the way to the end. You know I love you. Weekly challenge. I want you to get in the gym this week. One day, I don't care if it's a walk. It's nice outside. I don't care if it's a walk, if it's push-ups, sit-ups at home, if you get to the gym. I want you to get active one day, motivate yourself to be better, and hopefully that train keeps shooting along. I am still giving away that gift card to First Form. If anybody is in the market for any supplement knowledge, reach out. Love to chat with you about that. That wraps this up, guys. Like always, try to do the right thing. Try to leave a legacy, and White Tail Legacy is out. 4 in the morning.
Join me, Chef Jean-Paul Bourgeois, and the whole crew here at Duck Camp Dinners every Monday at 8 p.m. Eastern on Waypoint TV. Birds up in the
sky. When you go out there and the fish are where you think they are, any one of these casts could be the bite. It's the most exciting fishing that I know right here at Hawk's Cave.
Oh, that's awesome.
Experience the best saltwater fishing the world has to offer. Don't miss Thursdays with Saltwater Experience. Brought to you by Golden Boat Lifts. Every Thursday night from 7 to 10 p.m. Eastern on Waypoint TV. The destination for outdoor entertainment.
Once in a while, it's fun to go like just full-blown redneck on these fish. This is like high-tech cane pole fishing right here.
From the white sandy beaches to the crystal blue waters, enjoy the best fishing Panama City Beach has to offer during Chasing the Sun. Sundays at 9:30 a.m. Eastern on Waypoint TV, the destination for outdoor entertainment.